Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince. And when this episode comes out, it should be right at the beginning of the year. So happy new year, everybody. We're so excited to have you back again with us. And you know what I just thought about? This is probably going to be back in February.
Maybe. Happy February.
Happy February, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever the holiday, you know.
Hanukkah.
Anyway, here's the thing. Vince and I were just discussing, just before we started recording the show, you know, technology and studying the Word of God, and what does it mean to really be a believer today, trying to equip the saints, and have all of this technology that makes it so easy to prepare a sermon. Now, before we get into AI, and before we get into all these tech tools, I want to kind of lay down a prerequisite. There's always been lazy people in the kingdom of God. There's always been sermon stealers. And what I mean by that is that it's not someone that's using a sermon to help study, but there's always been those that don't want to study, and so they always borrow other people's work and preach it as though it's their own. And there's always been those people. But here's the reality.
Always will be.
Yeah, and there always will be. But here's the reality. First of all, if you're called to equip the saints, you're called to study the gospel. You know, Vince is one who equips the saints. He teaches at a Bible school. He is a teacher. And if he doesn't study, what happens, Vince, when you talk to your students?
Well, I can give you the actual literal thing of what happens. You can stand there and you have a bunch of Bible school students who are looking at you and you're going, because when they ask you a question, and because you can listen, anybody can fake it through a presentation.
Hey, come on.
Especially if you're good at it. But when it comes to the meat and potatoes of the questions that they ask, if you don't have any background in it, then you can't really, you have to try to fake it through an answer, and they can tell. So even in that, you have to, if it is a topic that you're touching on, you're like, listen, I think it's an important topic, but I don't have a lot of information. So just like when we do sometimes, I want to open this up because I think it's valuable for us to begin to talk about. You need to make that plain. I'm limited in my knowledge in this area, but in the sense that you said, like the sermon stealers, in that sense that, like, listen, there's sermons I've looked at. I've preached stuff that's virtually the same stuff. I've stole Jesus's sermons a lot.
There you go.
But, I mean, the thing is, you can't just regurgitate it. You got to look at it, and you got to study it for yourself, and you got to take it in and go, okay, they talked about this. Here's their points. Here's their scriptures. Go look at the scriptures they use, match it up to the points, and then you can say, does that make sense? And you begin to get the revelation for yourself.
There you go.
It begins to go into your heart. And then you can put it back out there. And that's part of discipleship. That's part of training, is you take in information, you assimilate that information into your life, into your world, and then you go ahead and regurgitate or spit that information out to the next group.
Well, so I guess the real question for our listeners today, and yes, intentionally, we're trying to make you uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Welcome to 2025.
That's it. The absolute thing that we're trying to get you to ask yourself, am I using technology or artificial intelligence as a crutch and an excuse not to study the gospel? Or am I using it as a tool to help me in my pursuit of studying the word? I believe if Christ had artificial intelligence to help with his study of the gospel, he absolutely would have used it when he was growing up. I don't see why not. But here's the thing. I don't think he would have used it as an excuse to not study so that he could have an authentic encounter with his father so that he would be able to bring the meat and potatoes to the event, right? He would want that authentic encounter, that authentic, inspired, Holy Spirit-driven inspiration. He wouldn't want just this watered-down, I'm only going off of a script thing. He would actually want something that had substance to it. And then here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're teaching at a Bible school or preaching in the jungle or out in the largest church or whatever. if you are just regurgitating something that someone else gave you and you have no study in that topic, because as a little acknowledgement, there are seasons when somebody else will have a message and you've studied and you've studied and you've studied some more. And you're like, this particular message drives this home. It almost reminds me of something that my son said before he went with me to Peru a couple of years ago on a mission trip. We were praying and interceding, and he just looked up at me and goes, you know, there's enough teaching in the world. It's time for action. And I think that the reality is we've gotten into a culture of trying to bring in the most creative word to capture an audience to the point to where we spend more time trying to get the next hook, the next great idea.
The latest, greatest revelation.
Right, the latest, greatest revelation, when the reality is all the revelation that's needed, Jesus preached. And the reality is we're supposed to be preaching his gospel, not the gospel according to Kirk, not the gospel according to Vince, not the gospel according to anyone else, but we're supposed to be preaching Christ and him glorified and his, you know, salvation message, that the kingdom has come, that his will be done, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, that we need to come and bring ourselves to him. You know, it's not supposed to be us just creating something that tickles people's ears and makes them all excited. You know, if that happens, that's great. But the main crux of the matter, the main, you know, foundational piece is getting the inspired word of God out to the audience in a way that impacts their heart and changes their life. Because if all we want to do is get a, you know, a cool marketing hook and try to sell another book, then we've missed the mark.
You know, Kirk, I'm gonna put this out there too. I mean, look, we're sitting here doing this for 2025. And so I'm going to be really honest with anybody that listens to this at any point. We're not just talking about this in terms of like we're talking at anyone.
That's right.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've done this. Early on in my walk, I've done it. Why? Because one, I didn't know any better. And number two, kind of to what you had said, Kirk, I really liked what somebody said, and I thought it was awesome, and I thought it was so dynamic, and I'm like, oh, I need to teach that, and I need to do it just like them.
Oh, yeah.
And when you try to do it, and it comes out all like, you know, you're all shaking, you don't know what you're doing or what you're saying, you don't know anything about transitions or anything like that, and you're getting freaked out, and it doesn't come out anywhere near it. And because you didn't get the personal revelation yourself, it doesn't sit in your heart. So there's nothing to pull on. There's nothing for Holy Spirit to pull on because it's just head knowledge. It hasn't gone in deep. And so it is something that I think we all in the beginning may go through because we're just trying to emulate those that we've seen. And that's okay in the beginning. But at the same time, you should be continuing to, or we should be continuing to dig deeper. And listen, even now, I've done this for a long time. And like you said, Kirk, I teach at the school. Even now, I look at it and I walk away from a class and I go, was that enough? Did I give everything I could have given for that lesson? Am I winging it too much? Am I not digging enough? Am I not seeking the Lord enough? Is what I'm talking about just me being lazy? You can say to go into that. So I mean, we're not just going to talk about this stuff and either not having been through it or it personally affected us. I'm talking about it because I've been through it. And I still deal with it, even though I know and understand the truth is there's no way. I'm already studying now and redigging through my class for what I'm teaching in the spring. I'm already going through certain aspects of it now going, okay, how can I improve that? How can I make that better? Is there a caveat that I need to add into the thing? Is there something I need to take it out? Or is there something I need to reword it so it helps people to understand?
And, oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then looking at the word and looking at that and not trying to make it the latest, greatest revelation, but going, okay, is the scripture that the Lord gave me in that, is it still accurate? Or was it based on a revelation I got in the moment? And maybe, just maybe, I missed the mark on one of the scriptures I chose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was a teacher that was at the school when we were there. He's passed on now, Dr. John Holler.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. John Holler. And I remember him saying this. He said, first thing he said was this. He said, if you ever hear me say something and it disagrees with one of the other teachers here in the school, he said, disregard what I said and believe them. And people, you know, they chuckle and they laugh and all that. Then he stood up one day and in front of an entire student body and he said, you know, there's something I used to teach. He said, and I believed it with every fiber of my being. There's something I used to teach, and there's something he was going to be teaching on that day.
Right.
He said that I found out years and years later that I was in error all that time.
Ooh, man.
And so he said, this is what I used to teach and preach and believe. And God gave me that revelation. Somebody asked some questions and it caused me to go digging. I got a revelation on it and I found out I was off. And so now this is what I teach instead. And I was wrong here. Man, how much humility does that take to say, as from somebody who's an established teacher of multiple decades, to say I was wrong and I was in error in the way I believed on something. And I think
Man,
that's how we should always be.
I don't disagree with you. And I think we got to be very careful not to get caught up in ourselves and trying to keep up with the latest trends and trying to showboat or show off to people to just to try to make a name for ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with writing books. There's nothing wrong with having podcasts or YouTube channels or whatever else. I mean, the reality is we live in a digital world at this point in life.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we have to find ways to meet people where they are. I remember when I first started reading about, you know, augmented reality and, you know, the virtual reality stuff that like Facebook came out with and all that. And I thought it was pretty cool, pretty exciting. And when I was a gamer back in the day, that really would have excited me back then. Today, I think, I don't know. I haven't messed with it in so long. I don't know that I even care to even try. But be that as it may, I remember reading as I was considering what, you know, maybe we should create something like that so that we have a digital presence, you know. And I thought, well, I think it's going to be too much money. And then I read about a church that was the first one to launch their service in a virtual environment in Metaverse. And I thought, okay. And they gave the
That's
testimony.
cool.
Yeah, they gave the testimony that there was a guy that just started showing up. And he refused to ever go into a church, but in the Metaverse, he would attend. Well, he actually got saved through the church inside of the Metaverse.
Really?
That will throw a theological wrench into anyone that's anti-tech. Because the reality is sometimes there's people out there in the world that they are not going to interact with you in the way you want to put them in the box. You've got to interact with them in a way that will engage them where they are and not in a preachy way or whatever, in a way that humiliates them, but in a way that says, hey, I love you for who you are. You're my neighbor. The gospel says to love my neighbor. I love you. Even if I disagree with the way you're living right now, I still love you as a person and I'm praying for you.
Well,
now,
I'm sorry. I know you got another point to it, but I had to throw this in there. I hold to the old saying of when I jumped into youth ministry, and that was this, that the methods may change over the years, but the message should always stay the same.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And I think the biggest thing that we have to be careful with, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality, artificial intelligence helping us study, we've got to be careful that we're not going to lack authenticity and inspiration from the Holy Spirit. We have to make sure that we're staying engaged with him. Because the reality is when we become too reliant on tools, even good tools, we can begin to become separated instead of spending time with the word and in the gospel and in with our Savior, getting to know Holy Spirit, getting to know how to commune with our Father. understanding who we are in Him, if we lose that authenticity, then we get almost to the point to where we could start chasing our own ideas. We could begin to potentially misinterpret Scripture, even if that was not our primary intention. It could become like the gospel according to Google, as some people call it, right? You know, because I don't know, Vince, if you've heard this, but when I was going to school at DBU, we talked about being very careful about, you know, getting the gospel according to Google. Don't just Google search it and read it and assume that just because it tickles your fancy that everything's good. But that's what a lot of people do today. They do the gospel according to Google, the gospel according to what they want it to say, because it's convenient. It makes it feel warm and fuzzy. But here's the reality. There is a lack of inspiration within that word because it's not authentic to the truth. It's only telling you what you want to hear. And the reality is it, for example, Book of Romans, you and I have discussed this many times. Many people try to build an entire theology on one chapter in the Book of Romans. The Book of Romans is a letter written to the church in Rome by the Apostle Paul. That being the case, you have to read it as a letter, not as segments, not as, you know, this one little section stands alone. No, it is a letter to guide the church in Rome because there's some issues that Paul needed to address, some teachings he needed to bring to the table. And in the same way, we need to take the gospel as a whole. We need to study it. We need to get it in our heart. Now, if I remember right, Vince, I believe King David is the one that says, write your words on my heart, on the tablets of my heart.
Yep.
And that's what we need to, our heart's cry needs to be, God, write your scripture on the tablets of my heart. Let everything that I am be saturated with you. Let my entire existence be a praise and a glory to your name, that everything that I do lifts your name up and brings praise to you. And so when we begin to rely so heavily on these other tools, tools themselves are not evil. But when we rely so heavily on the tools, could it be, Vince, that we kind of teeter on the edge of dehumanizing ministry, or possibly, you know, going into such a easy, almost coasting mentality to where we're not paying attention to the Holy Spirit when He whispers to us?
I think a really good draw to that, a good comparison to that the previous generations was a struggle for them too, was although with AI and other tech tools and Google and all that, all this information comes to you in a moment, and with the quickness. It's the same basic thing that had to be said to previous generations are, spend time in the Word, not in other people's books.
Oh, come on.
Don't use books in place of Scripture. Just because they've got Scripture in the books isn't a substitute for the Word itself.
I want you to expand on that, because that's very, very powerful.
So, and actually, I'll say this. First of all, if you use technology the same way that the older generations used concordances and topical Bibles that kind of broke things down into topics, to me, that's fine, because all that's doing is helping you to dig deeper into the Scripture. Whether you read the Word on a screen or in the actual book, to me personally, that's up to you. I do both. There's no substitute to me for reading the Scripture on a page, though. Man, there's just something about it. And yet, most Saturday nights when I go to church, I'm reading the Word off my phone.
Oh, come on.
So I go back and forth. I use both. It doesn't, sometimes I'll have something open in the Bible. I might have two Bibles open in different scriptures, and I've got my phone or my computer with three or four other ones open up. So if you use it just as tools to help you study and enhance your knowledge and understanding of Scripture, I don't have a problem with any of that. And I think with the AI stuff, like the ChatGPT and all these things like that, I think if you use it to help consolidate maybe for a topic so that it can bring where it might take you weeks to find something related to that one topic. You can now do it in a few moments. I think that's okay. As long
Okay.
as you're using it with wisdom and according to the way that Holy Spirit says go. But to draw some expansion on the original thing I had said was back before we were using the internet and all this stuff for all this information, many ministers, if you went into their offices, their libraries, they had books. Kirk, I know you've seen this, and a matter of fact, I've been in your church office. There is a wall
Oh,
full of
yeah.
books.
Yeah, my
Like
pastor loves those things.
from one end to the other was probably 14 or 15 feet, 6, 8, 10, 12 shelves high, floor to ceiling, books completely
Oh, and that's
walled
not
with.
all that he has.
No, I know. And I mean, look, I've got two shelves here in my house. I've got one that's so full, I've got books on books and they're stacked all funny ways. And then I had to get another one. And I'm still looking at 8 or 10 books sitting on my desk right here. I got
Oh,
enough room
yeah.
from the computer and a bunch of books. So, but here's the thing about them. What they used to do is they would sit here and they'd crack open this book. Okay, all right, this is on the topic of this. All right, well, I'll just read this book. And they assimilate this information from this book and they go preach off of that.
Yep.
And it's like, wait a minute, where was your personal time with Jesus? Where was you reading his words directly? You're reading the opinions of another man that he understood from the scripture and his revelation, and now you're trying to pass it off as yours
Oh, you're
because you're
meddling
too
now,
lazy to
buddy.
go study for yourself. And I'm not accusing anyone, I'm including myself in that. I have done that. Like I said earlier, I've been lazy. It was easier to look at something from a book and go, okay, well, they use this, and this scripture. I'll do the same thing.
Absolutely.
But it's so much more fulfilling and it's so much more robust what you speak of and talk about when you do it for yourself and you have the relationship. Part of digging in the scripture is to build the relationship of Christ.
And here's the other thing. When the word says that I will give you the words to speak in the moment that you need them, for that you have to have relationship and depth. You cannot have the Holy Spirit draw something out of you if you have nothing to draw. Here's an example. You're thirsty. You're in the middle of a desert and you go up to a well and you see the bucket. And you throw the bucket down at the bottom of the well, and you're expecting to get yourself a great big old bucket of water. Well,
Skadoosh.
when it finally hits the bottom, all of a sudden you hear a thud.
Clink.
Well, that the well was dry. It didn't have the depth it needed to reach water. Well, you and I and everyone else in the world, our job when it comes to our relationship with the Lord is to dig the well deep enough to where we hit the water of the gospel, the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, His freshness, His infilling, so that He can bring us to that overflow. And then whenever people need something that we don't necessarily have the exact word at the moment, Holy Spirit can say, ah, you've been pouring into yourself. You have the water in you from me. I can now dip from you and begin to serve it to those around you. But if we don't put the time and the effort into building and digging that well, how do we expect them to have anything to draw from?
That's a
That's
great
where
point.
the tools themselves are not the problem. The problem is when we begin to use them as an excuse not to get deep into the Word of God. Perfect example. I've been guilty myself of this very thing. There's seasons sometimes that you get busy at work, and you don't spend the time that you used to in the Word, in the Gospel. And so
I know where you're going already.
you can become dry in those seasons. And you have to become super intentional, super focused. I mean, example for myself, I have a very long drive back and forth to work. And I've had to adjust myself to this new schedule because it threw my normality completely off. But it doesn't mean that I have the excuse to not spend time with the Lord. I have a responsibility to nurture, to stir up, just like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, stir yourself up in your most holy faith. We need to stir ourselves up so that we are reminded of all that God's done for us, that we are equipped freshly with his gospel, because it's our job to be motivated in him.
So Kirk, here we go. You touched on something really good, and nowadays this is a bigger issue, I believe, than it used to be. Because a lot of people, I believe, are I know some are not, some are working from homes now, some are doing hybrid stuff, some are doing remote, all that jazz. But I feel like by and large, the commuting thing is still a pretty big issue nowadays, for quite a few people out there, especially those in larger cities, larger metropolitan areas. The Metroplex here in Dallas, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth is massive and only getting bigger. So in order for you to continue that relationship and communication, when you are automatically losing, let's just say, an hour on each side of your day, so 2 hours of your day to just commuting, and you can't just, we're not at a place where cars drive themselves yet completely, or well, not
we're
safely.
We're getting close.
We're getting close, and it's not where it's affordable yet. But
you know, you need to tell those folks that are sitting there looking at their phone or doing other things that, because I've seen several people when I drive where they're sitting there staring at their phone and they're trusting that Tesla or that BMW that has the self-driving to keep them between the lines. And thank God that they do so far. But hear those horror stories about where their light hit just right and the car thought it was going a different direction and it made a severe turn and then a disaster happened. So, I mean, things are not perfect yet, but...
So how do you handle continuing on or continue to grow and expand your relationship, even possibly using technology on your commute that takes such a long time?
Well, for me, I try not to play with my phone at all. I set my phone down, and I generally listen to a book.
Ah, okay.
And I know maybe that makes me sound old, but I have found...
You're getting there.
I found when I was much younger, so I am a little bit older. I'm not old yet. But when I was a lot younger, I listened to music to the point where it was almost like an addiction. And I felt like the Holy Spirit challenged me to really separate myself for a season. And I did. And I really grew exponentially the moment I began to turn music off and remove the distractions. And one of the things I realized is there's so much time that we have the opportunity to engage ourselves in different ways for improvement. And I'm not always diligent in doing this because sometimes I get bored too. You know, I'm normal, I'm human. But the thing is if I can engage my brain instead of just putting it on autopilot and just simply going on to the rhythm, sometimes it helps me with my day-to-day grind. You know, because it'll help foster the creativity to solve problems. But whenever I only listen to music, it's almost like I turn the brain off. Have you found the same thing, Vince?
Yes, and I have found that if I, especially when I was commuting, so I used to drive an hour back and forth to work a few years ago, before my life shifted. And I used to do the same thing in the mornings. I would listen to stuff. I'd listen to books. I'd listen to podcasts. I'd listen to things like that. And then the Lord said, this is the weird part. He said, you're spending a lot of time first thing in the morning listening to what a lot of other people say.
Ooh, man.
And I was like, okay.
That sounds almost like getting swatted.
Oh, it was. But I had created a routine. And there's nothing wrong with routines. But you got to remember who's the author and finisher
That's
of that routine. And so I mean, I shifted everything in terms of like that. I still listen to certain books, but I would ask the Lord for permission first. Can I listen to this? Is that okay? Or what do you want me to do today? On the way home, I would listen to music, and sometimes I'd listen to older stuff, or sometimes I'd listen to classical music. And but then there's a lot of days where I'm like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to listen to? And I'd just listen to worship, or I'd put on scripture on the way home to help me transition through my day. Or I'd put on a sermon. That way, when I was on my way home, I was filtering out the junk from the day. That way, by the time I got home, I literally left it out there on the road somewhere. And I think that's an important thing, is when you have, and I don't mean to go down this rabbit trail, but I do feel like maybe it's something we do need to address, maybe in its own show at one point. But I do think it's important to know that if you're like, I'm so stressed, I'm overworked, I'm on this really long commute, don't take the commute as part of work. Use the commute as a transition period, so that when you get home and walk in the door, other than maybe changing your clothes, there's not much that you have to do mentally, because you've already done it. Maybe take a different way home. Instead of taking the interstate home and being all congested, if you know it's going to take you an hour either way, whether you take the interstate or take the street.
There you go.
Because you know you're going to be waiting at stoplights anyway. This way, at least you know if you need to get off anywhere, you can get off anywhere you want.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I used to do. But
Well,
that's, I digress.
circling back to technology, since we were
Bring
talking about,
the
and let's circle back to
helicopter
one of the things, though, some people have argued that, like, if you use AI or some study tool like that, you could introduce ethical issues such as bias that's introduced by the artificial intelligence system, right? So it could be compromising the ethical integrity of what you're trying to do. Well, here's the reality. And this has been a problem way before this technology ever existed. Many people, just like you mentioned earlier, they'll read a book because it has some good sounding scriptures in it. They say, oh, this is great. This is exact. And just like the artificial intelligence, there's a bias by the author. Artificial intelligence simply only has the data that it's been fed. Well, guess what? If someone wrote a book, they were fed or they studied certain information, and so they could possibly have a bias according to the situations they've been in their life that causes them to have a certain slant to the way they view things. And because of that, they regurgitate the information in a way that may not be exactly the way scripture intended because of the way that they view life. And so
Kirk, that's a great point.
there's a bias stamped right on that thing. So we can't just say there's going to be an ethical issue because of bias according to AI, just because, you know what, there's been those problems ever since people started writing books.
Well, and even right now, I mean, we're looking at a time where, like it or not, even our search histories. Not search histories, but things that we search on, almost all of it has been at some point guarded, guided. They block some things, they allow other things, and there has been a recent bent towards in history to try to shut down Christian activity. So who's to say that the AI, what has been, so all this stuff comes from learning, right? And it's
Absolutely.
only going to learn what's put in there. And if it's put in a left-leaning bend, then it's going to lean that way. So anything that it tells you might seem harmless, but it could possibly have a bend. So you got to be careful, just like reading the books and going, okay, eat the meat, spit out the bones. Take the truth, the actual spiritual principles that are in there, and discard the opinions,
That's right.
discard the other stuff in there. It's the same thing with technology. And unfortunately, we're looking at a generation, and I don't mean this age-wise, I mean this as a whole. We're looking at a generation of people that anytime anything comes up on the internet, they're looking at that like that's Bible truth. And I'm like, wait a minute,
Well,
when did
then
we
you
go
got the other side, brother, that,
when did we go from a group of people though that believed that don't believe anything you read on the internet to a generation of people going, believe everything you read on the internet?
Well, you've got both sides. You've got the one side that says, "Oh, that's it." Then you got the other side that says, "It's the Antichrist.
Yeah, it's the devil.
It's the devil. It's the Antichrist. Oh, that's the mark of the beast."
Right.
I mean,
So,
dude, when credit cards first came out, people said that was the mark of the beast. Come on.
look, I don't doubt that the AI in the future, and whenever that time comes, that the Antichrist comes and does his thing when he's allowed to, that it'll play a part in it. I don't doubt it.
Oh,
I
yeah.
really don't. I mean, all of this stuff leads up to what's going to happen at the end. The only reason any of it's allowed to even happen is because God's allowing it so that the day comes at the very end, everyone will be able to see him come out of the eastern sky. Everyone will be able to have the opportunity to say yes or no to the gospel message.
That's
So
exactly right.
regardless of what people believe, this is that, look, I got my beliefs on it too. And I'm not dismissing anyone's beliefs on it at all. But what I'm trying to get to is we got to make the main thing, and we got to carry the rest of it in stride.
And the
The
main
reason
thing
that,
is Jesus.
right, the main thing is Jesus, was Jesus Christ. Paul says, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's it. It's we are supposed to teach Jesus that he came and lived a sinless life, that he came to earth for us as a sacrifice to be our savior. He lived the life, he died on the cross for our sins to absolve us from that chasm between us and our creator, because we are sinful men, so that we can be restored. He died, he rose again from death, being the firstborn of death, so that we would no longer be stuck in that. We can spend eternity with the Father, not as fire insurance so
That's
we don't
right.
go to hell, but so we can have a relationship with the Creator that Adam and Eve had before their fall. And we can be redeemed from the curse of sin. We can be redeemed from sin, hell, death, grave, and sicknesses and all this stuff like that. That's the gospel truth. That's the freedom. That's the joy, the love of what the main thing is, the main thing. The internet, the AI, all this stuff like that is literally just a tool. It's no different than cash money.
That's
Money
right.
is just a tool. It's the love of money that becomes an issue. But
That's
money
exactly
itself,
right.
I mean, whether money is having a sheep or a horse or whatever, or oxen to trade, or having dollar bills or credit cards, it's all just a tool.
I can almost see you, Vince, waving dollar bills. Got dollar bills, y'all.
I thought you were going to say, I could see you waving your oxen around going, all right,
No,
on, Jedediah, bid on this oxen.
fanning it out, yeah, dollar bills, y'all. No, just messing, guys. One of the things we want to make sure you know, first and foremost, if you got offended over the fact that Jesus is the only way, I'm sorry, that's just what it is. However, we are here to make you uncomfortable. Our job
Amen.
is to get you driven into the gospel so that you will get a foundation in the Word of God, so that He will be in your heart. So that you'll have a good rooted, not a plugged in, a rooted relationship with the Father. Because here's the
Exactly.
thing, if you're just plugged in, you can always unplug. The reality is you want to be rooted in. So even if you go through a dry and desolate moment, when you're rooted, you don't get let go of. It's very difficult for things just to go away because you still have deep roots. But if you're just plugged in, it's easy if you start to walk a little bit the wrong direction for it to pull the cord out of the wall, right?
That is true, my friend. Well, I'll say this as we're about to close down, and here's my close out for the day. And that is this. We're in 2025 now, and Our goal is to continue to make everybody uncomfortable in a good way.
Absolutely.
Dig in the word. And I'll put this challenge out to everyone out there that listens to this year. Please, please go dig in your word and find something where Kirk and I are in error in what we're talking about. You can take it as a challenge. You can take it as whatever you want. I hope you do. Please email us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. Tell us what it is in love, please. Please do it in love. And we will be more than happy to go dig through the word for ourselves and see in this area that you said we are incorrect. And if we are, we will make that announcement right here on the show.
There you go. I love it. You know, there's no reason not to. I mean, because the word of God is the reason that we're doing this. And guys, the purpose of this show is to get you in the word so that you're equipped with the tools for the kingdom of God.
Have conversation.
Yes. And if there's a topic that you'd like to discuss, email us there as well. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to mooseministries.org/give. We greatly appreciate all you guys. Thank you for joining us again. We'll talk to you next time.
See y'all later.